Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to a special live edition of Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams. And no, this is not a repeat. This is actually a live show. We're back from a three-week much-needed break. And, first of all, I want to, see how you all doing today. And I'm happy to be back on the air tonight. And I just want to say, no matter what any of you are going through, no matter what trial, what situation, God's already solved the problem. But the key is, though, you have to pull close to Him. Anyway, with that said, I want to go ahead and introduce my co-host for this evening. We have Miss Nikki in the building. Miss Nikki, how you doing, man?
I'm fine. Hey, how you doing, Raz?
I'm doing good. You had a good week?
Yeah, busy. Birthday just passed, but yeah, it's been good.
Well, happy birthday, Nikki. I'm not going to ask how old you are. I know you just turned like 22 or something like that.
Oh, don't trip, because I look good. I don't mind saying I'm 36.
Oh, there you go. All right. All right. So, yeah, man, we got Mr. Monty Ambrose in the building. What's up, yo?
How you doing? I'm good, Raz. I'm good. It's glad to be back. Glad to be with you.
Absolutely. All right, and next we have back in the building, Minister Rodney Fulton. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Guys, if you have a question or comment, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. Well, I want to go into the news real quick, and I don't have much news to discuss tonight. I just wanted to talk to you about this plane, this missing plane that has been on the news for the past 2 to 3 weeks, almost a month now, And to me, there's a lot of unusual things going on in today's world. It's getting crazy, man. Like, as you turn on the news and the TV, just things are just weird. Like, you can't quite call it. You can't quite put your finger on it, but you have a sense and a feeling and a discernment that things is getting weird. Guys, I mean, let me start with you, Nikki. What do you think about this situation with the missing plane?
I don't know. I think it's pretty strange. I feel like it's more to the story. I mean, because they can see every other thing that we do from satellites in space, but they can't find this plane. I mean, it's strange. It just seems like something else is going on. Maybe they're trying the media, they're using the media like they always do to kind of unnerve us in a way to kind of make us think like, you know, they're having such a problem with locating this plane, see everybody, we can't see everything, you know, when we just had this whole scandal that had been going down like last year about, you know, people, the government tapping into phones and, you know, Big Brother watching everything. And so I just think it's, why wouldn't an airplane be more sophisticated than a cellular phone, considering we're in the age of terrorism? It just does not, something doesn't sit right at all with that whole situation.
And I agree with that assessment right there. Ronnie, what do you have to say about this missing plane?
I agree with Nikki. You know, like she said, we're in the age of technology. You know, they ship animals to find them, you know, and they can't find this plane, you know, so it does seem strange. It just doesn't fit with where we are as far as technology is concerned, that a plane just wouldn't be found. And there's no report of it. You know, if a plane came down in your city or around you, you know, it would have to make at least some kind of noise that somebody would notice that something's different. There would be some kind of report. And with so much other stuff happening around the world, you know, I could see, you know, I could put my conspiracy theory hat on and see it as a diversion or a distraction from, you know, other things that are happening in the news that are way more important, you know, like the things that are happening in Russia, the stuff that was going on in Thailand. And there was one more other nation where the people are actually revolting against the government. And so, you know, and I feel it's just another pacifier story, you know, just to lull us to sleep or distract us from, you know, greater issues. But it's sad, though, you know.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Minister Watt, do you have an opinion about this? Minister Watt? Okay, we lost him right there. Can everyone hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, awesome, 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 okay. I think we lost Minister Rodney right there, but we'll get him back in a second.
Right on.
Minister Rodney, we got you? All right, all right. Well, guys, I want to talk about today's topic. Today's topic is titled Faith, Having Faith in and Through the Storms of Life. The storms of this life will come. There is no avoiding them. If we are godly and live on this earth, we will incur storms in our lives. And storms could be many different types of storms, such as seasonal storms, transitional storms, and unexpected storms. Webster's Dictionary defines a storm as a sudden, violent gust of wind, often with rain or snow. And guys, today, this is my topic. We're talking about the storms that we all go through. And here you are, Going along life's road fairly smooth, praising God with a thankful heart. When out of the blue, the doctor calls, the certified letter arrives in the mail, the friend or spouse you trusted betrays you or abandons you, the check bounces, I'm not just saying a regular check, but the check that you need to pay your mortgage or your house note, the police at your door. So what happens? Waves of doubt and fear roll over you, so you stop being overwhelmed, confused, fearful, and depressed. What happened? Your calm life has now been sucked into a storm surge. Now the future's too bleak and the answers are too few. Nikki, what do you think about today's topic?
I think that it's necessary, especially considering everything that's going on, not only in the world today, but in our everyday personal lives. We have to have faith. We have storms every day, and you know, different people. And while storms don't hit the atmosphere every day, we still have to know how to be prepared and manage. And that's how our lives are. It's almost like the climate of our lives. There are days where there's sunshine. There are days where there's those nice, wintry, cold days where you just snuggle up in the bed and watch a movie. And then there are those days where the storm hit. And it's like, are you prepared for the storm? So I think for us to be coming back with this topic, I think is very relevant.
Absolutely. Minister Rodney, you back on the line? All right. Ronnie, what do you think about today's topic, man?
It's good because one thing that happens a lot of time when people go through things is, like you said, your first instinct might not be to just trust in God. It might be, you might be overwhelmed by how the situation seems. And so it's good to remind yourself to keep your trust in God, because he said that he would never leave or forsake us.
Absolutely. I want to say this, that Minister Rodney, you there?
Brad, you hear me?
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Minister Rodney, today's topic is titled Having Faith Through the Storm. What do you think of today's topic?
I think it's a good topic, because you're always going to have storms. You're always going to have seasons in your life. You're always going to have winter, summer, spring, fall. Those seasons are always going to be there. There's nothing you can do to avoid it. But God has given you the tools to walk through them. And one of the tools he's given us is faith. And it's like the more storms you go through, the more stronger your faith is. It's like lifting weights. You may start out lifting 40 pounds, but the more you keep lifting and exercising your muscles, the stronger you get. And that's what storms do. They come to build you up. They come to strengthen you. And it's an opportunity for you to use your faith. A lot of times people, going through storms, they lose sight of the focus within the storm. And that's Christ, and that's Jesus. And we have to stay focused, through the storm. So I think it's a good topic because, right now in the world, there's a whole lot of stuff that's going forth, and people need to stay focused on God,
Absolutely, hello? Absolutely. Yeah. Well, guys, you heard it from the people, from the co-hosts. Nothing touches us that has not passed through the hands of our Heavenly Father, nothing. So be sure that God has sovereignly surveyed and approved the trial, the warfare that he's allowing in our lives. Job in the Old Testament says of God after his ordeal, I have heard about you before, but now I have seen you. In the New Testament, the Lord said to Paul in his storm, my grace is sufficient for you. Hold on, I'm with you. So everything we endure is being used to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ and to prepare us for serving others more effectively, everything. So the Holy Spirit is committed to shaping us into the image of Jesus. We need to be quietly aware that the life of Christ is being modeled in us and that the storm is being used to empty our hands of our own resources, our own sufficiency, and turn us back to the faithful one. And God knows what will get us through, what will get through to us. So I just want to say that. And the reason why I really did this show, because I was dealing with some things in my life recently that were not pleasant. It felt like I was surrounded and confronted with a tsunami of issues and surmounting problems that were seeking to overtake me. And at that time, I had a choice to allow myself to buckle under the pressure, becoming weak, fearful, doubting, wearisome, or trust that God was bringing me through, and no matter the outcome, everything was going to work out for my ultimate good. And it's like some of you right now. The enemy has tried to kill you. He has tried to destroy you. He's trying to destroy your dreams. He's trying to destroy your credibility. He's trying to destroy where God has taken you and is taking you. But know this, for those of you listening who are in Christ, the enemy has failed. Every demon that has tried to cripple your life, that they have been defeated. They have lost the battle. God has gotten you to the point where he always wanted you to be. If it didn't kill you, it has made you stronger. Some of you have been through so much this year, and the battle has been so intense. Now it's time for you guys to break through. And, I just want to, this show is really based upon some of the things that I've learned through these trials that I've recently been going through, man. And You know, and one of the couple of things I want to, that I've highlighted that I really want to discuss is this. When you're going through a storm, you must understand the reality of spiritual warfare. People, there are demons that are real. They will attack you psychologically. They will attack you mentally. Their job is to wear you down. Their job is to wear you out. Their job is to get you to make erratic decisions and to operate in anxiety, fear, and desperation and restlessness. I'm talking about doubt, fear, and disbelief. These are real demonic spirits, and their job is to stop you from operating in your faith. And the word of God says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free to do what? Free to walk in your faith. Because when you walk in your faith, you are pleasing to God. And what the enemy doesn't want, he doesn't want you to be pleasing to God. There's a whole lot of you right now, a whole lot of people going to heaven, but they have no victory here on the earth. Some of you are on the brink of having a nervous breakdown because nothing is going right, and the devil is right there to make sure that other things in your life don't go right too. The smallest things are now setting you off. Why? Because the enemy has gotten inside of your mind, and you know what? He's taken away from you. He has taken away your vision from you. He's taken away your faith from you and your trust to believe in God. Nikki, what do you think about my comment?
I think it's right on. I mean, most of the times when we go through things, most of the time as believers, we go through things not for ourselves, but for other people. And the one thing that the word says about faith in itself, of course, we all know the scripture, Hebrews 11 and 1, it talks about how faith, as a matter of fact, let me get directly to it because I don't want to just, it says, Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you go to Hebrews 10 and 23, it talks about, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, for us to have the topic of having your faith in the storm, I mean, that's necessary because, first of all, when you're going through a storm in your life, and like you said, when the demonic attack is so strong, and when you're in a storm, it's not just raining on the right side of you. It's not just raining on the left side of you, but when you're in the storm, you're getting soaking wet, whether it's hailing, raining, snowing, all of you is involved. So it's like, and with a storm, it's really when it rains, it pours. It's pouring down. So it's like, okay, where's that umbrella? You have to hold on in a storm to your faith that the things that I'm hoping for, that sunny day, it's going to come. Well, when you're under that attack, faith, the Lord allows us to go through things to stretch us. Some things we get involved in before we should, therefore judgment comes or consequences come, however you want to deem it. Other things God himself puts us through so we can be stretched from faith to faith. And so it is absolutely imperative to hold on to the word and hold on to the promise that God is saying that if you're faithful and just hold on to me with all your heart, I'll get you through this. But don't waver, because the more you waver, the longer that storm is going to be. And so it's absolutely necessary to, for instance, we don't buy an umbrella. Well, some people do. But usually, we don't buy an umbrella and a jacket once it starts raining and snowing. Well, we've already been through something to let us know that we need to have that already, so we're already prepared. That's the same thing with having faith in a storm. The fact of the matter is that you have to exercise your faith even when there aren't big problems. So when you are in the fight, it's like training. When you are in the fight, you know how to sustain, how to maintain. So, like I said, to synopsize that, basically what you're saying is true. you know, when we go through things, we have to, tell Vicky, we have to know how to pay attention and hold on to God. And that's my
absolutely
comment.
Absolutely. You know, my next point is this, is that, and Nikki, you touched upon this briefly, is that when going through a storm, even when you're not in the storm, it's very critical to spend time in the Word of God. Particularly when you're going through a storm, you have to spend time meditating on the Word of God. You cannot see the future unless you start spending time with God. Doing this will begin to work on the inner side of you and revolutionize your life, because God will give you revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit and cause you to live better. And if you believe and trust in God, you'll begin to experience the victory that a true believer should walk in their everyday life. Minister Rodney, what do you think about my comment? Okay, Ronnie, what do you think about my comment?
Hello?
Minister Rodney. Yeah, did you hear my comment?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think?
I think the topic, you know, is very good what we talked about, you know. One thing I do want to point out, sometimes we create our own storm.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we create the mess that we're walking through. And sometimes
yeah,
that comes out of
saying.
Us not obeying. And that sometimes it comes out of us not obeying God. It comes out of us being selfish. It comes, you know, from us being all about ourselves. We want to do things our way instead of God's way. And then sometimes, you know, Scripture talks about how you reap, you know, what you sow. Sometimes we sow seeds, and you know, you're going to reap a harvest, you know. But even in that, you know, God is still good. God is merciful, you know, and he'll walk you through. But, you know, some of this stuff, man, we create on our own. And then there's some things that the enemy, you know, will come against you to knock you down, to break you down, to hinder you for where God wants to take you, you know. And then there's a situation where, you know, God would allow you to be tried, you know, to prove, you know, to go through a proving process and to see what's in your heart, see if you will obey, you know, just like the children of Israel. You know, they was in the desert, you know, a desert place. And the Bible talks about how they did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. So, you know, there's all different types of storms, you know, some that we create, and then there's those that the enemy will come and try you like Job. You know, but Job gave the correct response in his crowd. He did not curse God, you know, and he did the right thing, was to worship God and to walk through it. Now, yes, he has some things that he went through bars within himself, but that's just, you know, human nature when you doubt yourself or this, that, or the other. But as long as you hold, like Minister Nick was saying, hold to your profession of faith, you know, don't stop through the storm. We're not stopping through, we're going through it. You know, you're going through it. Don't stop and set up camp, you know. And we all go through storms. I've been through storms. Everybody on this talk radio show has been through a storm. But, see, and one thing I do want to say, the way you handle the storm will determine how long you probably will be in the storm. If you handle it the correct way, which is walking by faith, have your confession line up with what you believe as far as the Word of God, and then, you know, that storm may not last that long because, you know, you're walking through it. You're not setting up camp, you know. And it's very important, you know, the way you process during the storm, and you allow yourself to grow from it as well. I believe that every time we go through something, every time we walk through a storm, then when we went in.
Absolutely. You know, guys, it's important. Absolutely. You know, guys, when you're going through the storm, it's important that you don't make excuses. If you've been making excuses in your life for the problems and issues and the storms that you've been going through, you need to stop right now. Stop making excuses for anything in your life. It's something that happens. What you need to start doing is taking responsibility for your part in the equation. Sometimes when you're having a dysfunctional relationship, look, you know, I mean, the reason why I say this is I've heard a lot of things, and I hear people talk sometimes, and you know, and it says, well, you know, well, say what she didn't do, what he didn't do. Oh, he didn't do that. Oh, they did this to me. But what I'm really listening for is for you to chime in and be an adult and say to yourself, like, you know, I know this happened, but what part in this did I take to contribute to this to the situation? You know, we got to stop being accountable and hold ourselves accountable to the things that we caused. You may not have caused the entire situation, but what part did you contribute? So, you know, I think that's important. Ronnie, what do you think about my comment?
Well, yeah, it is good to be aware of the part that you're playing. And just like Minister Rodney said, you know, sometimes we create our own storms and we overlook the fact that, you know, you, like you said, you created the mess that you're walking in. And so, you know, both of you guys are correct in the fact that we have to be accountable and accountable in this way. Are we in God's will? You know, are we being proper stewards of whatever the issue might be? It might be, you know, am I being a good steward with my business or my finances or my wife or my relationship with others, my neighbors and things of that nature? If I'm a good steward and the only way to be a good steward is to be in the will of our Father. So if I'm in God's will, walking according to His will with everything that I'm involved in, I'm maximizing the chances of, you know, being a blessing and not being a liability. And so, you know, you're absolutely right. I think you do have to be accountable. And the way believers are accountable, it's a blessing that we have the living word to keep us in God's will. And so that way, even if we, you know, we might not mean to, but if we made a mistake in some way, we'll be quick to see it and do whatever it takes to bridge the gap or make things right. So, you know, we do have to be accountable for our actions.
Definitely. You know, I was reading the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:12, and it says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. And this brings me to my next point. Especially when you're going through a storm, stay in your lane. If you want to win in life, if you want to be a successful believer, you need to learn to stay in your lane. Raz, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. Don't worry about what other people are doing. You don't have time to be jealous about other people's success or they may have some things when you're going through a storm and you don't have it. You need to be working on what God has called you to do, on the things that you can bring to the table. But when you're hating on somebody's or complaining about someone else's success and talent, it means you don't know who you are yourself. You're jealous or envious or angry because this person appears to have more money, or they may look better or may have it together better than you do. But you have a gift too. So guys, stay in your lane and maximize what God has given you. If you're not sure what God has given you, it's time to get on your knees and start seeking the face of God and say, Lord, reveal to me who I am, to myself and to you. Nikki, what do you think about my comment?
I think that it is necessary, period, to stay in your own lane, not just when you're going through something, but just period. And when you are going through a storm, it is absolutely imperative to pay attention to those that are around you. A lot of times when you're in a storm, you find out who your true friends are. And your true friends will get in the trenches with you and be genuine to the cause. But then there are other ones who will, for lack of a better term, be a wolf in sheep's clothing and try and help you maybe tear down a situation that shouldn't be, or, you know, point out all the negatives. And then another thing, as far as when you're in a storm, it's also imperative to sit and be quiet, because you need to hear what God is saying. And a lot of times when we, all of us have done it, when we get in the storm, because we want to know how to get out, we start reaching for those, basically almost anybody, to give us the answer. What should we do? What should we do? And it's not wise to get counsel from everybody, because then it becomes confusion. So you're absolutely right about staying in your own lane. You just have to know what your lane is in the first place, and other people around you need to know what their lanes are. And a lot of times when you are in a storm, you're wounded. And so it's easy to be distracted or reach for a temporary comfort or an even an umbrella with holes in it, if it's shielding me from hell, you know, the golf ball-sized hell that's coming down on my head, I'm still going to take it. But after a while, because it's not sturdy and it's not, you know, proper and it's not what God actually sent for you, that's going to break down, and it may even cause more harm than it did good. So it's absolutely imperative for both parties, the person in the storm and the people that are around you, to know to stay in their own lane.
Absolutely. Definitely. And, you know, that being my next point as well is, you know, and this is just a real quick, you know, add-on to what I just said and what Nikki just said, is that, you know, even when you're not going through the storm, but in particular when you're going through the storm, is rid yourself of diabolical people. You know, I realize that there's some people that only like you to the extent that they can control and manipulate you. Nikki, I know we've talked about that. What do you think about that comment?
The problem with that is that even when you're not in the storm, that's why I said it's imperative for you to know, even before take inventory of who's in your life and take inventory of your own life before you even go through a storm, because as believers, we're going to go through it because Satan is going to attack us. So if you're already in a situation before you hit the storm where people are around you and being manipulative and controlling anyway, you're used to that behavior. What happens is when you're in the fire, it's amped up times 10, and it causes confusion. And the Bible says where there's confusion, there's every evil work. So that's to any believer out there, whether you're creating your own or it's people in your life that's creating it. I mean, you can hold on to that because God's word is unchanging. Anytime there's a bunch of confusion, you need to step back and figure out God, or let God tell you, God, what is going on here? Because there's every evil work. Manipulation is nothing but witchcraft. So, you know, witchcraft is manipulation and trying to get somebody to do something or, you know, go against their will and all this so type of stuff. So, I mean, those are just some things that happen when you go through the storm. But once again, we have to know how to go back to the training that we had or that God is building, or that faith muscle. We have to know how to go back and work that faith muscle and rely on that faith muscle. And another thing is, I'll say this, when you are in a storm, a lot of times it'll seem as if God has forsaken you or he's not even there. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he even said, you know, man, basically, Father, if it be at all possible, take this cup from me. And he's God in the flesh. When he was on the cross, he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He already knew what his assignment was. He already knew what he was called here. So how much more will we feel like when we're going through, God, why is this happening? Even stuff we've created, we want to know, God, why is this happening? That's why it's imperative to have that relationship with God, and we have to stop being believers that, okay, I got this working for me right now, so God, I don't need you at this moment. But as soon as you do something you don't have no business, or as soon as Satan throw that roadblock in your way, the first thing you want to do is run back to God. You should have stayed on the path in the first place. And I believe that's where God is taking us now. We're in that season now to where we have to hold on to him and stop running back and forth. It's time to get off the milk. It's time to eat meat. It doesn't make any sense for us to keep going around the same revolving circle, different situation, but basically the same circumstance. And God is saying that we need to hold on. But, you know, the storm, I mean, we'll get through it as long as we're believers, but some things, like I said earlier, we create for ourselves. So you have to be, you know, manipulators can also come as people who are preaching the word of God. You know, there are ministers and people in general, they don't even have to be ministers, you know, that will twist the word for whatever it is that they see fit to manipulate somebody, which is, like I said, once again, witchcraft. The Bible, you know, we all know Satan was, you know, in heaven too. He knows what he knows the word just like he knows the word better than we do. So how easy is it for him to use somebody who say that they're saved? I mean, the Bible says he'll come to you as an angel of light. So that lets you know there are plenty of people out there that's going to look like they're believers. But that's why you have to have your own personal relationship with God and really know and know when his hear when you hear his voice. That's my comment.
Woo! That's right. That's what I'm talking about, Nikki. You know, sometimes when you're going through situations, we need to ask God for wisdom in dealing with these with people and situations and circumstances, because certain situations and people are from the pits of hell. They're not interested in changing or walking in the light of the truth of the Word of God, and therefore they operate in darkness and will twist your innocent words and use the things you have shared with them against you to fit their diabolical agenda against you, to embarrass you, to confuse you. These things are the workings of darkness. Now, Ronnie, me and you have had many conversations about believers today and how their lack of receiving true meat of the Word of God. How do you think that impacts people in dealing with their situations where they think man has the keys or the answer to their problems and not God?
Well, the scripture does say, you know, only a fool would make man, you know, would trust in man, and so we can't go out like that. And yeah, like especially if you're going through a storm, the only person that has the power or that is capable of allowing you or, you know, making way for you to overcome is the Father. And so, you know, you have to be focused on the fact that as a believer, there's certain promises that are there and established in the covenant between you and God. And so you have to trust in that and not like people, you know. God, the Father might use a person, you know, to do his good pleasure and show you favor, but, you know, your blessing comes from God and God alone. So, yeah, you know, when you're going through something, just that's the best time to put your full trust in God, because it's only the Father that can cause the thing to go to your heart's desire. So, yeah, but as far as the, you know, false believers, you know, that's a whole other, you know, topic in itself. And so it's unfortunate that sometimes there are some believers that, you know, whether they know it or not, you know, they're kind of treating, you know, someone who's going through a storm like prey, and they're, you know, treating them as like a source of gossip, or, you know, just really misusing a person while they're down. It's kind of like kicking them while they're down. If someone puts their trust in you as a believer and you take advantage of them, and, you know, just use them for gossip or use them for your own pleasure while they're really in need. So that's even more reason to just focus on God. I'm not saying don't, you know, be paranoid of everyone, but I'm just saying keep your trust in God and God alone.
Absolutely. You know, my next point is this, guys, is that always consult God before you do anything. You know, through my recent trials that I learned to stay before the Lord, you know, communing with God, talking and meditating on the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you want to win through these storms and this in life, period, as a believer, you have to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. You know, people who want to win, they acknowledge the Lord in all their ways. They let the Lord guide their day. They let the Lord guide their minds. They let the Lord guide their finances. They let God guide their heart, their soul. They learn to stay in God's face. I don't know about you, but I don't have time for, you know, I don't have time for foolish people anymore who want to live foolish lives and get mad at me because I don't want to be a part of their clique. So, you know, a smart person would say, Father, what should I do about this? The Bible says that David was a man after God's heart. One thing that, you know, one thing I was reading in the Bible recently that David always did before he went into battle, he would always go before the Lord and said, Lord, shall I attack them? Lord, how should I attack them? And every time he consulted God before going into battle, he would always win. And sometimes God would say to David, sit back, I got this. I will beat them for you. Other times, you know, he said to David, hit him like this. So I think that's important. I think that's key that you always must consult God in all your ways. Minister Rodney, what do you think about that comment? Okay, I'll pass it to Nikki.
Well, you know me. I believe that you should, not even while you're in the storm, you should consult God in all your ways and make a habit of that anyway. I believe that everybody knows our faithful listeners and the co-host panel, everybody knows that I'm a true advocate of devotion, and I believe that you should do your devotion before your day is started. So, you know, God can order your steps. And so that's what I'm saying. I believe that that's where God is calling us to be at this point as believers, because the times that we're going into and the times that we are currently in, we basically can't keep putting God to the side. We have to hear his exact agenda, and, you know, when he says turn left, we don't need to be like, okay, well, let me see what's over here on the right side first and then turn left. No, our lives, our physical and our spiritual lives, are at the point as believers to where it depends on being obedient, and being disobedient or lingering, I believe that's a lot of the things that creates a lot of the storms in our lives that do come. Because truth be told, God tells us ahead of time, hey, don't you do that, and we'll do it anyway. Hey, don't you touch that, and we'll touch it anyway. You know, and God is saying it's time out for that. It's time out for that now. And it's almost like with the children of Israel. I mean, God literally was with them in a cloud, in a tent, or in the Ark of the Covenant. He was literally there, present with them, and them cats still was tripping, you know. And eventually, you know, God kept allowing his judge. He would give them pass after pass after pass, but then, you know, it's like he started allowing the ground to open up and swallow up some people. He let them be carried off into captivity, because God is a loving, merciful, and graceful God. But just like a parent, or just like anybody, if somebody keeps on and keeps on and keeps on, after a while your patience are going to run thin, and then there's going to have to be consequences or judgment that's going to come. And God is trying to keep his people from having that hand of judgment come down and you be caught up in the same judgment that the sinner is caught up in, which is going to be a worse for a believer, because the Bible says those who know will get whipped with many a stripe. Now, those who don't know, they're going to get whipped too. But basically, is what it's saying is, mind, you're going to get a beat down because you knew better. I'm going to whoop they butt, but I'm beating you down because you knew better. Why even go through all that? Just be obedient in the first place. That's my comment.
Wow, that's so true. You know, and this is a question for Ronnie. You know, maybe we can all talk about this real quick. And it, from the comments that have been made today, it just seems though the reason why a lot of us find ourselves in storms is that as believers, we're not as mature as we need to be. Ronnie, do you have any ideas why that could be? Is it because of the spiritual climate in today's churches, or is it just a sign of the times, or is it an individual thing, or is it a corporate thing? What's your comment about that?
Well, it really, first we have to deal with, you know, what is the storm, you know, and just like Brother Rodney said, are we the cause of this storm? And if we're still causing storms for ourselves, that means we're carnal at some point in the game. And so if we're still being led by the flesh, that means we do got a lot of work to do. And that doesn't mean we don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. It's just that we're not applying the scripture to our lives. And so we get caught up, or, you know, we get sidetracked, or, you know, we put ourselves in a position to go through something that's, you know, really a delay, you know, because while you're, while you got your head down fighting the storm, you know, you're not being a witness to anybody. You're not helping anyone out. You're not being the light, you know, in your circle of influence. And, you know, you're so, you become an introvert when the Father needs you to be, you know, someone who's reaching out to his people, because you might be going through something financial, or you might have a, you know, issue at home or something like that, when that pales in comparison to your neighbor who might die today in their sin and live forever in hell because you didn't witness, you know. And so, you know, we, there's really, really no room for, like you said, for us to be, you know, immature to the point where, you know, we're just so hungry for everything to be perfect in our lives that we overlook the fact that we have eternal life and we're living in a world, you know, where a lot of people have no hope, and we're supposed to be, you know, useful to God so that we present, you know, these people that we live around, that we work with and that we know, to him, you know, so that they can have eternal life. And so, you know, the whole staying in storms and, you know, always going through something like that, yeah, I think part of it is going to have to, is going to be due to either, you know, the immaturity or, you know, there's just, there's a gap that needs to be bridged by prayer, obedience, studying, you know what I'm saying, and just being dedicated as far as, you know, I'm a believer, and if I have victory, you know, what, you know, how long is a storm supposed to last if I'm living in victory? And so there's that to consider. You know, it's like some people are going through things because some people are learning as they're going through something, but some people are going through things that they shouldn't, that they should have ducked and been smarter than a long time ago. And if that's the case, then, yeah, it is due to a lack of spiritual growth. And, you know, as far as the churches, like, I don't want to bash the churches because I think the whole institutional the concept of the institution is probably started off as a good one, but, you know, the institution is lacking in some areas as far as, you know, spiritual growth. You know, people come together, that's good. People get to hear the word, that's good. But then once you examine it a little closer, there's a lot of traditions that really stunt your growth. You know, there comes a time, the Bible says in Hebrews, there comes a time where you should all be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you the basics. And if you really consider, they name the basics, and, you know, your most paid preachers are getting paid and living off of teaching the basics. And so, you know, there's a big lack of growth if we look for what the institution has to offer. So everyone needs to take it upon themselves to take the word seriously and apply it to their life. And in that, you build a relationship.
Mm. That's an awesome point. All right, and my next point is this, is that, you know, and again, the points are not just when you're going through the storm. It should also apply to yourself, as a, especially if you're a believer, in and out of the storm, you should apply this in a consistent manner. So a lot of these things we're talking about right now can be applied to your life, period. And but we're just, today's topic is having faith through the storm. So one of the things I realized as well that, and, you know, and I was guilty of this, and is sometimes we, when we're praying, especially when we're under pressure, under duress and stress, we sabotage our prayers. And, you know, and Nikki, I wanted to ask you that, how do people sabotage their prayer life, especially when they're going through a storm, especially if they're not praying correctly or they're praying amiss or they're praying with the wrong intentions?
You just said it. They're praying with the wrong intentions. A lot of times when we're going through the storm, we become self-centered, and so we begin to focus on ourselves because, you know, one of the number one nature's laws of nature is self-preservation. So, you know, if my arm is cut and your arm is cut, the first thing I'm going to think to do, unless I'm a parent and you're my child, but the first thing I'm going to think to do is let me take care of my arm, then I'm going to look out for you. And the other thing is that instead of what most people do, instead of when they're in the storm saying, okay, God, show me what it is, what's the lesson in this? What am I supposed to get out of this? Where are you taking me? And one of the only ways you can really do that is when you have become comfortable and trusting in the relationship that you have with God. Now, anybody on this phone and basically anybody on this earth that still has breath in them would have to say God has never left you or forsaken you, regardless of how bad your circumstances were, whether you're that cat that lives on the corner. Well, guess what? You ain't dead from starvation, so evidently somehow God is still making sure you're fed. So whether it's that person that has their own business and it seems like, you know, they're under so much pressure, guess what? You haven't lost the business. There's still income that's coming in. God is taking care of you. And we forget to focus on, you know, God, I still have breath in my body. Even if it's down to the point of somebody that's on their deathbed in their right mind, you still have breath in your body to profess that Jesus is the Son of God. So humanity is made up of even sinners. I mean, God looks out for everybody. So a lot of times when we get in the storm, instead of us being comfortable enough to rely on God getting us to the next step, we get nervous, we get off center, and we begin to pray amiss, we begin to pray the wrong way, we become frustrated, frustration. Fear, doubt, all that is a direct enemy of faith, because you can't really operate in frustration, fear, or doubt when faith, the Bible says, is the evidence of things hoped for. So if I'm afraid or if I'm doubting, how can I have any hope? And that's where we're going into. We're in a time of hopelessness. So, I mean, that's just where I am with it. You know me, Raz. I can just go on and on about faith because, you know, from me being a little girl, you know, that's something that, not that my faith isn't tested, because my faith is tested just like everybody else's. It's just on my level. But I completely trust God and trust in the fact that God will always get me through. I don't care how bleak the situation is, even if it's down to the point to where I'm taking my last breath, because I'm saved, I know I'm going to make it in. And that was just his plan. But, you know, from the time I was little bitty somebody, you know, I understood the concept of faith, from being, you know, healed from diseases, life-threatening diseases, from growing up in the projects and being shot at a young age, from, you know, even when I was out there sinning, selling drugs and all that stuff and gangbanging and all that, I still believed that God was going to see me through. So, I mean, it's not as easy to grasp for other people, but it's just you have to trust God. You're breathing. You can't see the air that's coming in and out of your lungs, your nose, your mouth, however you're breathing, but it's there. It's just like that with God and faith.
Wow, that's a good point. And I'm hoping we have Minister Rodney on the line. Minister Rodney, there? Minister Rodney, do we have you on the line?
I'm here.
All right, man. I hope you've been hearing what we've been talking about. Minister Rodney, briefly, I know you wanted to share for a few minutes, you wanted to share to the audience listening about going through the storms and having faith through the storms of life, and I'm going to let you have the next 5 minutes, sir.
Oh, okay. You know, one thing I want to say about storms is that, you know, you have all different types of storms. You got earthquakes, tornadoes, you got floods, and you got all kind of, you know, different types of storms, but all different types of storms produce different results, you know, and all those things, you know, it shapes you, it molds you, and walk through it right, more into the image of Christ. And the thing of the storm, you know, God is going to strengthen you through the storm. And I love what Minister Nikki said, is that God's word is true, and it never changes. And, you know, and one thing that when you're going through a storm, you have to be promise-driven, not problem-driven. See, and one thing that the enemy wants you to do is to focus on the problem and not the promises of God, because the promises of God are yes and amen. You know, God is still in control. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. God is in control of your life and every circumstance that you're walking through, you know. And everything may not be the way that you desire it, but it is the way that God desires it. And the Bible talks about, in James 5:11, talks about how everything worked out. Everything worked out for Job in the end. And Job, you know, if anybody who went through some stuff was Job. You know, he lost his children. You know, he lost everything. But God restored him. Why? Because he did not curse God. And he was a worshiper. Now, God did some things in his heart at the end. A revival came in his life and in his heart. You know, so when Job came out of that situation, he was better at the end than when he started. And you have to know that God is perfecting you. God, you know, God allows things to happen in our lives. Not all things is God putting
an enemy. You know, to make you think that God is always putting you through a storm, that God is always doing this and doing that. Sometimes we stay in the storm is because we don't grow. It's because we don't change. And we continue to do the same things. And when we do continue to do the same things, you're going to continue to get the same results. So, you know, a lot of times you have to look at what you're doing and ask yourself the question, okay, why am I keep going through this situation the same time every year, the same situation, the same circumstance? You know, so a lot of times we have to step back and take a look and survey and be still and be quiet and see what God is trying to show us in the situation. Because I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the voice? Because the Bible talks about how the Spirit of God led Jesus in the wilderness. Now, we think about the wilderness. Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there. And everything that lives in the wilderness was there. You know, if you go out to a wilderness, what's out there? You got bears, lions, you got all this stuff out in the wilderness. So when you a place of a storm or a desert place or whatever the situation may be, you know, the speaking to you, you know, in the midst of the storm, there's the voices that's trying to get your attention. You know, so just see what's
Minister Rodden, if you can hear me, you're breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up a little. I think we can hear you now. Yes, go ahead.
You can hear me good now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I'm in a bad area, man. My reception ain't picked up, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, we just have to allow the Holy Spirit to perfect us, you know, to build more character. And, you know, the Bible does say that God will perfect those things that concern. So, you know, God has everything in control. You know, you're not going to fail. You're not going to lose everything like you think you are. I'll tell you, you know, I've been in a position where I lost everything. But I tell you, man, in those times, that was my greatest times and even more times with the Lord. You know, my relationship through all this stuff grew stronger, and a more intimate, vibrant relationship with God, man. And I look back on those things now, and I can truly honestly say, man, I'm glad I walked through those things because it changed me in a lot of areas. It pointed out some things in my life that I didn't see before, you know. But had I not gone through that, I probably would still be the same way in those areas. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, storms come into our lives, you know, to protect us, to build us up. You know, and God does work in our lives during that period, you know, and those things are going to change, you know. So that's why I just want to encourage everybody, you know, stay within the will of God, stay promise-driven, not problem-driven. Stay in faith. You know, the Bible says if we draw a line to God, he will draw a line to us. It feels like God is not there, but he's there because God's grace is with you. God's mercy is with you because it could be a lot worse than what it is. You know what I'm saying? So just hold fast.
Looks like we lost Miss Roddy there. Hopefully we'll get him back on the show. All right, guys. Well, listen, we're almost coming to the end of the show. It's actually a quick show tonight. And I want to just pass the subject back to Ronnie. Ronnie, man, what do you think about today's topic? I know it's kind of brief, but maybe a little bit elementary, but at the same time, it's something that we all need to remind ourselves about when we're going through the, if I can say this word correctly, the vicissitudes of life. So, Ronnie, what do you think about today's topic?
Well, you know, having faith through the storm is important. And, you know, let's just go over the fact that, you know, faith is having trust, you know. And so what do you have trust in? We as believers have trust in God. And non-believers, what's available to them is also trust and a relationship with the God of creation, the one who delivers, the one who protects, the one who allows you and helps you to overcome. You can have your trust in the Father of creation, no matter what you're going through. And that's really the first step in anything you're going through, is to trust God with it. Trust God with it, no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how sour it is to taste. You have to trust God with this situation, that he wouldn't allow anything to overtake you that you couldn't, that he's not going to pull you through. And so you don't want to bring it on yourself, because the Bible says, you know, we're never to tempt God. And so what you want to do is be in right standing with God by being obedient. The Savior said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. You'll keep my commandments. So if we're doing what's required of us as believers, no matter what comes upon us, our first reaction would be to put our full trust in God, and we won't irritate things, we won't agitate things, we won't implode, but we'll have confidence in God. You know, we'll have trust in God, and we'll have faith through the storm that no matter what the situation is before me, the Father of creation who is with me is greater, and he's going to pull me through it. And so if you're going through something, your immediate reaction needs to be, I trust in God, I'm in right standings with God, and no matter what this situation is, no matter how big or small, I put my trust in God to help me through it.
Absolutely. You heard it from Mr. Ronnie, folks. Guys, I think we have a caller from the 951-231 number. Hello, caller. Do you have a question or comment? Okay, caller from the 951 area code. Do you have a question or comment? All right, I guess they just won't listen in. Not a problem. Okay, Nikki, what's your closing comments for today's show?
My closing comment is simply this. Just trust God. And the best way to do that is by being quiet with him and becoming familiar with his voice. So therefore, in the times of the storm, you be quiet and you'll know when you're hearing him. It's not, you don't want to get in the storm, become confused. God, is this you? God, is that you? Learn to trust him and become familiar with his voice before the storms of life hit you. And that's my closing comment.
Absolutely. Minister Rodney, we have you back?
Yes.
Okay, sir, I wanted to just ask you your closing comments on today's topic.
My closing comment?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my closing comment, man, is basically what Minister Nikki said, just continue to trust God, continue to sit, be still, and let God be God in your life, you know. And this is a time when you're in the storm. One of the things you know, is that we need to be more quiet so we can hear God, you know, and follow his direction, because God has plans for you. He has direction for you, but we have to sit and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. So, and it's our faith that overcomes the world. So we have to stay in faith, continue to trust God, and continue to listen and be still and know that he is God and know that he has your life and your situation in his hands and he is in control. And I just want to encourage you in that. That's my last, that's my comment, my closing remarks.
Absolutely. Well, guys, you heard it all from Minister Nikki, Minister Rodney, and Minister Ronnie himself about today's show. Well, my closing comments is this. When you're going through the storm, you know, it's important, guys, to remember to never, ever give up on God or stay focused on God. Don't give up. I don't care if you're in a room and have to fight 100 men. The reality is you'll probably get killed, but, hey, you still got to fight. Don't you ever give up. Don't you come home with your tail tucked between your legs. My mom used to tell me, you know, you're a child of God. Raise yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep it moving. You got bigger things to focus on than worry about foolishness. And, you know, the thing is, though, from what we've heard today, you have to learn from all these things, these storms. If you keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again, you're not going to win. You're going to keep repeating the same dysfunction. True children of God always learn from their mistakes and want to get better. And that's my comment. My name is Raz Williams. Thanks for tuning in for Can We Talk Radio. We'll be back live again next week. Tune in same time. Have a blessed weekend. Peace.